Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
You know, I don't know what I would do without my little friend Dave there doing the intro for me all the time. It just is such a comfort. I have known that man since 1976 or so. Crazy. Why is it that great friendships make you feel a certain way? It's indescribable, and the longer it seems, the better. God is good all the time, and I was just thinking how much I love this show. It hasn't even begun, and I already love it, just because of the fact that there's been some sort of divine guidance in putting this show together today. Not exactly sure what this is all about, but I dig it. And then, on top of all this good music that you're going to hear, you will hear Marcus Adams, who is one of the coolest sax players I have heard in a while. And he's got quite a story. You're going to enjoy all of it. Trust me when I tell you. Some of these guests that you'll hear have been on Cool Jazz Conversations with Joy Hall and myself. And one in particular, I'm trying to get on this show. I'll keep mum about that until the time is right. Yay! Let's get started with Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. It's going to be a cool ride, and you're going to hear some surprises. Ready to go? All right, now who's going to finish up here?
Thank you. sin dolor. Las mañanas vuelan como el viento y tu anhelo se dibuja en mi interior. Come, life is good. Here I eat my bread and drink my water. Tell me that loneliness is not bigger and stronger than you. Feel me, I am inside of you. The tears come back again. Laugh with the pleasure to hide all fears in the body of us both. Look around you. Tell me if there is anyone who listens to you like I do. I am the breeze you feel at dawn.
Different variations on a theme, these jazz perspectives from different cultures. Just love that vocalist, Yusa from Cuba. The song is called Breathe from the album of the same name from 2005. Yusa is this breathtaking multi-instrumentalist who plays a Cuban guitar called a tres. She sings in Spanish and French and English. She gets her inspiration from Brazil and digging deep into African roots. And some critic, who really was not a critic, said about her in the past couple of years, she's subtle and restrained, but you just get that full breadth of emotion, too. She's very unique. Just love her so much. Breathe. Something we should all do. What does she say in the song? Open your eyes. Open your mouth, too, and breathe. Kyle Eastwood we heard from, Andalusia from the amazing CD, brand new, Songs from the Chateau. Just had him on Cool Jazz Conversations. Can you hear the dog next door? Yes, we're doing this from home. Joy Hall and I had him on Cool Jazz Conversations on Monday night, and he was a revelation. For those of us who have known Kyle since he was a baby, because we would follow, for those of us of a certain age, whatever Daddy Clint was doing and who he was dating, whatever. But when Clint was married to Maggie, Kyle's mom, it was just one of those situations where everybody was wondering what was going to happen with this man's career. We all knew he was brilliant. For those of us who saw him on Rawhide, he played a Rowdy Yates and then did the Spaghetti Westerns. And by the way, Kyle never got recognition. He was never billed as Clint Eastwood's son in one of those Spaghetti Westerns. There was a couple of instances where Kyle never got credited because I guess things were just cheaper that way. But younger Mr. E is doing his thing and a half. He is on his way to Cork, Ireland. Then he's going to go to the Leverkusen Jazz Festival in Germany, back to France where he is living, and then Tokyo, and then the U.S. in 2012. He's going to be in New York for a few dates. He's going to be at Birchmere, I believe, in Alexandria, Virginia, and Ram's Head. Please go to KyleEastwood.com and find out what's going on with him, because there's a lot. Just so cool to see all of it, know all of it. I'm just rambling because I'm excited. Miles Davis to start things off with So What from the album Kinda Blue, which some, all right, a lot have said is one of the best, if not the best, jazz album of all time, and certainly one of the most influential, affecting all sorts of genres. Now, the sextet on this particular piece of genius consisted of Bill Evans and Wynton Kelly, drummer Jimmy Cobb, Paul Chambers on bass, Coltrane and Cannonball on sax, and just almost no rehearsal was involved for this. Miles was quirky, as you know, and that's being polite in some circles. Miles did not want his musicians to know that when they came into the studio, he didn't want them to have any preordained ideas. He would just give them the music, and they would go. It's just hard to conceive that that was the case, because he just knew his musicians so well and he knew himself so well. Released that CD, Kind of Blue. Actually, they didn't have CDs back then, I'm sorry to say. On vinyl, it was released on the 17th of August, 1959, on Columbia. Just when you hear all 9 minutes worth of it, it's just so lovely. Just not even to believe that people did work like that, and that's why it's so exciting to call this show Hybrid Jazz, because we like to play all of it for those who are following in the footsteps of the great. Oh, it's just a high. It's a rush, I tell you. And speaking of which, he's going to give you one. Marcus Adams coming up at 3 o'clock. For those folks in different time zones, that's next hour. So be ready, because he's got a lot to say and a great background of his own. He's been doing this thing for a while. Let's turn our attention to, this is so cool, the first album released on a CTI for this artist, 1970. The album was called Sugar, Stanley Turrentine and Company. This is the Coltrane classic called Impressions on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Oh, please enjoy.
It's a Saturday night. You check the TV, yeah. And pray the black and white can keep you satisfied. Well, she had a yellow hair. She had.
Thank you.
Oh, boy, I could say so much about that artist. Mark Meadows on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Mark Meadows is a name that you might not have heard before this particular day, but that's okay. You will. The classic When I Fall in Love. Woo! From Mark's very cool CD, A Child is Born. Now, Mark is one of those guys who, when you hear of his background, you go, no. But seriously, if you go to Mark G. Meadows, MEADOWS.com, you'll learn all about him. Now, I just want to let you know that just a synopsis of Mark, his dad, who was involved in music, gave him a little Casio keyboard when he was 3 years old. And then at five, the family moved to Dallas, and Mark studied under this renowned vocal coach. Actually, she was multifunctional, but she taught piano, and as a matter of fact, she was responsible for teaching Nora Jones, Dr. Rosal Levant. So she saw something in Mark, and son of a gun, she was right. He came to D.C. and then to Baltimore. He studied jazz piano at Peabody. He also was studying psychology at Johns Hopkins University. And Mark is just one of those people who intuitively knows how the piano works and knew that very early on. He apparently impressed a whole lot of people at a very young age. But then he decided that he wanted to blend what he knew of jazz piano with what he was interested in as far as psychology is concerned. So he's still a very young man. And what he's doing is, we have a place in this area that is called Shepherd Pratt. And there are a lot of people who are neurologically challenged, who have gone through some patches in their life where they need to get fully functional again at Shepherd Pratt. Mark is making sure that adolescent boys are getting another foot onto the right path. He's just an amazing guy, and I met him because of talk through my friend Rhonda Robinson, who was going on about this guy, Mark, who she knew from Peabody in Baltimore. And then I met him physically when he was at the Matt Cusson soiree at Sully's some months ago. And I saw his talent a little bit in action, and I was just amazed. Mark Meadows. Yes. Lyle Lovett, we heard from two. Oh my gosh, from Pontiac, 1988. Much I could say about Lyle Lovett. People want to put him in categories. Indeed, there's a lot of folk, there's a lot of swing, blues, jazz, gospel. You want to call him country, you also have to call him Western. If you ever heard his version of "That's Right, You're Not from Texas," you know what I'm talking about. He knows so much of what to do pertaining to each genre, but I think he belongs in jazz big time. There was a gentleman who called him a reviewer a few years ago who said he's got the three C's. He's charming, he's classy, and he's got consistency. Lyle Lovett, what you heard is Black and Blue. Also on that Pontiac CD is If I Had a Boat. His birthday is coming up on November the 1st. Happy birthday to Lyle, the singer, the writer, the actor, been in so many movies, and I'm just freaking out. He's going to be in this region in December, so you know I'm going to try to get him on this show. That would be different, wouldn't it? You talk about hybrid jazz, baby. There it is. All right, time is getting to be of the essence, and let us tell you about Stanley Turrentine from Sugar from 1970, Freddie Hubbard on trumpet, Billy Cobham on drums, Ron Carter on bass, George Benson on guitar, Lonnie Liston-Smith on electric piano, Hubert Laws on flute, Butch Cornell, Richard Landrum, it goes on. Stanley no longer with us. Mr. T passed away in 2000, but he gave us about 66 years worth of some fabulous tenor sax, and if you pick up that CD, you are going to be in love with what you hear. A lot of people consider Stanley one of the all-time greats, and you just heard why. We're going to get to one more track, because I promised we would, and we'll get to Marcus Adams, who's going to be checking in momentarily. But I have to play this for you, just to give you a flavor of peace. This man lives in California now, originally from Costa Rica. This is from an amazing visionary CD, Invisible. It's Luis Munoz with an amazing vocalist who was named after Mahalia Jackson. Lois Mahalia, right here on him, on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Amazing vocals from Lois Mahalia, from Luis Munoz CD, Invisible. Oh my gosh, I can't tell you how exciting that is. And there's a lot to say about Luis, but I'm going to let him tell you when he's on the show, hopefully in November. But suffice it to say, this man is so impressive. And he's working on another CD. I don't know how he's going to be able to top Invisible, because there's some music in there that is so intense and so healing. All I can tell you is you got to go to Amazon or wherever and pick it up. Luis is just so well-versed in both classical and jazz. And then he throws a couple of elements in there that are kind of new agey that fit and are real. Never, ever fake. And you know the difference, because you'll know the difference even more when I tell you about this next man. And this man that I have on the line with me is the reason why I played that song, Him, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, because I wanted to feel at home. This man is steeped in some real, real deep gospel roots, and there's another song I'm going to play for him before the end of the show. He's going to tell us all about him, and this is the first time I will have heard his voice, so I know that it's going to be exciting. Ladies and gentlemen, please make welcome one of the coolest sax players on the face of this planet or any other, Marcus Adams.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Trish.
Oh, it's good to... I knew you would sound sweet. I just knew it.
Well, you know, I'm just glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you. It's good that you could do this on relatively short notice. But, you know, honestly, Marcus, I guess it was you that sent me this CD, or it was Kim. I'm not quite sure. But in any case, I got the CD, and when I listened to it, I went, oh, there's a little bit more to this man than meets the eye. And then I did some investigating about your background. You've got a very cool background. Could you please tell us from soup to nuts where you came from and how you got here?
Well, it's been an interesting journey, to say the least. My CD is primarily featuring me on saxophone and some piano and some vocals as well. But I got my start in music. Actually, like you said before, had very strong roots in the church. Started playing. My dad's a preacher, and my dad would play the organ before he preached, and I would sit there and listen to him play, and I'd say, you know, he'd get up, you know, after he'd play to preach, and I would sit there and listen to him play, and when he'd get up, I'd say, you know, I can't sound any worse than he sounds. So I'd jump on the piano when he'd get up, and I basically taught myself how to play piano, and then from there on, I went to school for music, and by eighth grade, playing saxophone, I was being courted by colleges in eighth grade. Moved to the north. I'm a southern guy from Mississippi. Southern guy.
Right.
Moved to the north, to Milwaukee.
That was a culture shock, wasn't it?
Oh, it was night and day. It was being down south, being in the band and playing music is a cool thing. But when you get up north, you know, guys, what do you do? Well, I play saxophone. Well, I play piano. You know, I was getting it in high school. It wasn't cool, but I stuck to my guns. Continued playing my music, and eventually, 18, 19 years old, out of high school, I was into rap real heavy. So I was doing a making the beats in the studio, writing and doing this, and I have a musical family, so I have three sisters, Stephanie, and so I got them together, and I produced a single at 18 years old, and unbeknownst to you, I got picked up by Randy White, ex ex-Packer, Hall of Famer, rest in peace, Reggie White of the Green Bay Packers. He heard
God
my stuff.
Bless.
And
he
hired me. Yes. So that's how I got my start professionally, should I say.
And how is it, because I had heard that when you were in eighth grade, folks in different colleges were courting you. What kind of promise were you showing? Because that's pretty amazing to be in the eighth grade and then thinking ahead, like, we really want him a few years later.
Here's what music has always been to me. Music for me has always been more than just notes and melodies coming together. Music for me has been a constant companion, a way for me to express my deepest thoughts, a way for me to say my most intimate, to speak my most intimate secrets comfortably. So music for me has always been a depth. It has always been an innocence that I could depend on, and I could build and share when I wanted to. So I always approached it that way. In eighth grade, my father bought me a sax when I was in sixth grade, seventh grade. Got it from the pawn shop. I mean, the thing was so terrible that it was being held together by duct tape.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Marcus!
But I was in the band, and in the band, there was this competition thing: first seat, second seat, third seat, fourth seat, saxophone. Me with my, I've always been a few steps behind, for lack of words, behind the curve. I am definitely a late bloomer, definitely. But I found myself in the eighth grade, in first chair, saxophone, with my horn that's being held together by duct tape. And I had a few colleges coming in that were friends of my my band teacher, and I remember distinctly one college, Alcorn State University, came in, and the band director for the college said to me in front of everyone, "Young man, you have a scholarship waiting on you. All you have to do is graduate." In eighth grade, you said that.
Oh, man, forget that late bloomer stuff. You might have been a late bloomer up until that time. At that particular point in your life, you were on the front burner.
It's been a cool experience, and I'm just humbled. I really am, because I'm not a prima donna. I'm not, for lack of words, caught up in my own hype. Music for me, again, is a way for me to express my most intimate and deepest thoughts. I tell people all the time as a songwriter, you can only write about two things, and I call it the E theory, either within your environment or your experience. Mm. And so music for me is my way of speaking to the world. I tell, one of my things is this, forget a Grammy. Let me win a Nobel Peace Prize for my songs.
Ah.
That's how passionate it is for me. I know I can play. I know my peers are going to like my music. Don't get me wrong. They give me a Grammy, I'll take it one day. But what would be more significant for me is winning a Peace Prize. Not to be just liking my music, but my music making an effect or having an effect on people's lives and changing a person's perspective and their destiny in life. To me, that's the greatest song.
That's a really beautiful and different kind of perspective than I have heard, Marcus. That's really awesome of you to say that. And I know that with the company that knows you, with the artists that have known you, that know your name, like Fred Hammond and Kirk Whalum and God rest his soul, Wayman Tisdale, Jeff Lorber, what you have just said is not hollow at all, because ain't none of those folks going to work with folks who don't get it.
Right, right. You're right about that. I mean, just even working with people like that. Fred Hammond, he actually, I was with Fred when I was about, I want to say 20 years old, older than that now. Still a young guy, still older than that. Now, Fred told me at 20 years old, he actually helped me produce my sister's record, which was Stellar nominated, my first time out the box.
Wow.
At 20 years old, produced a Stellar is the equivalency of a gospel, kind of like a gospel Grammy or whatever. But,
oh, yeah.
I had a Stellar nominated album at 20 years old that I produced with Fred Hammond. And Fred told me back then, he was like, man, you really got some, you know. And I wasn't half the musician that I am now, but I think Fred saw it down the road. You know, that was 18 years ago. I think he saw it down the road, though, that I was going to be someone that had something to say musically to a great audience.
And it's so overwhelming to think, and I hope that I articulate this right, because, you know, folks in the entertainment industry have been, and it's changing now because people are grasping this concept. You know, you were mentioning the time factor and the fact that, you know, you're now 38, 39 years old. The fact of
right.
the matter is that you get to the place in life where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to get there. It doesn't matter if somebody is in college and they make a big deal out of the fact that they get the bells and whistles when they graduate from college. It's no more a matter of you getting the brass ring in your 20s or in your teens. You can find your place in life, and people can have the light bulb go off and say to themselves, oh, my God, Marcus Adams is just the bomb. This is your time right now. It wasn't supposed to be 20 years ago. It's supposed to be now.
It's so ironic you would say that. I was talking to a friend last night, and I told her, I said, you know, I think, for lack of words, I've been preserved because I do believe that my gift is not just music. I believe my gift is connecting with people. That's what I believe my gift is. I believe my gift is not just music. Music just happens to be the expression that's used. But I believe my gift is connecting, and I do believe that because there is a purpose and something in life that I am exclusively supposed to do, I do believe that life has preserved me and allowed me to make a few mistakes and get my act together before I was able to be presented to a large audience, so that my gift would be validated by my actions. It would be validated by my my conversations and talks with people. I'd be substantive, and not just someone who sounds good, but also someone who, when you meet him, you feel the genuineness. You know, and it was a long walk. It was a journey, and I'm still learning some things. But I do believe that I'm at a place in my life now to where I can meet and talk to an awesome and beautiful lady such as Trish Hennessy, have something substantive to say and give to her. Our exchange will be beautiful, you know what I mean? And I believe I'm at that point now to where I can have beautiful exchanges with people.
Well, God had to get you ready. And that's it's... You know, you know that because you were raised that way. What a blessing it is to have been raised with that knowledge and then to go through the experience of understanding there is a lot more than playing technically perfect. And that's what got me because, you know, I'll be honest, Marcus, you know, other folks would like to categorize you and put you under the label of a smooth jazz artist. I didn't even think about that as far as when I heard you. There is just something real compelling that you have to say via that instrument that is light years beyond what any kind of froth would be. You've got meat and potatoes in your playing. There's a man who's got a story when you play.
Right. Trish, it's just, you know, it's beautiful that you can hear that, specifically the song From the Heart on my new project. And you know what? That song was the hardest for me to record because I had to, a gift. And here's what people don't understand. I think the difference on today's scene, you know, and I have the highest respect for all musicians out there, but I was at a concert actually. It was a local venue, and there were some guys playing, great musicians. But I was talking to a Grammy-nominated producer who was in the house, and he's one of my best friends. He said, "Man, what's wrong with you?" And I said to him, I said, "Man, you know what? When will people move beyond just playing and start speaking?"
Mm.
If people move beyond playing and start speaking, the moment you have to be connected to the moment. Kirk Whalum said something that was very, very powerful. Kirk Whalum said that God is the master player, and you have to have that connection. Where will you be so connected in the moment that you can hear what the moment calls for and play that? You may have the greatest riff or the most technically savvy riff that anyone has ever heard, but if the moment calls for a single note, that's all that needs to be played to change an individual's understanding. Or, you know, that's the difference between an artist and someone who is just playing.
Oh, I agree. And you know what? It's almost like we were just talking about this the other day because the world seems to be changing and people are hungry for more than just minimal contact. People want other people to be civil, and there is a quest for relationships in people.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when you're talking to somebody in a crowded room, you've noticed that when you have this one-to-one conversation, you can tell whether they're in the moment speaking to you or they're looking at the door to see who else is coming in.
Right.
And that's right. What you're talking about as far as playing is concerned, because the superficial people are looking at their watches when they're playing, going, this gig is going to last for like 30 more minutes and then I'll be out of here.
Right.
And you're talking about people who know that if they just change it up in the next minute or so and they're feeling the vibe, somebody in the audience can be healed who wouldn't have been.
One of my sayings is this. You know, before I start playing, I tell people, I don't know what your day was like before you got here. But for the next couple of hours, you're going to have a beautiful life. I say that to people all the time before I play. For the next couple of hours, you are going to have a beautiful existence. You know, and I firmly believe that, you know, because I believe that that is the potential and capacity that we have as musical artists, you know, to take people on a journey and make them beautiful, make them, you know, give them something that they didn't have before they heard you play.
You have as an important function as a doctor or a lawyer or someone who is responsible for other people. You know that you have a gift, and if you don't come to full fruition with that gift, you're going to be held accountable someday.
You know what, Trish? You won't get an argument from me on that
one.
You're not getting an argument from me on that one. I tell that's one of the reasons why I tell people, you know, I won't quit, man. I won't quit. You know, I will not quit. I mean, I'm going to be doing this when I'm 7 years old because this is not what I do. This is who I am.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep. And it, you know, you didn't choose it.
It chose me.
That's right.
Truthfully, you know what? It's funny you would say that. People ask me, why did you choose sex? And I was like, you know, I didn't choose sex. Sex chose me. I'm like,
yeah.
God. You know, I chose piano. I did. I chose piano. I started singing. Well, singing is what I do. Singing is part of who I am. I can arrange harmonies and write and all that stuff, you know, with my eyes closed and, you know, just half sleep. That's not a problem. But Sax chose me. I remember vividly hearing David Sanborn play one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is that? You know, what is that sound? You know, and this right here is really going to mess you up. The first time that I really heard jazz, for the first time, I was 18.
Wow.
You talk about a shut to existence. I was what you call a porch monkey. Didn't leave the porch.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't leave the porch. But when I left the porch, watch out, world. You know, but yeah, I couldn't leave the porch growing up. I mean, it was music and church at school. You know, it's pretty much that's why I learned how to play so many different instruments. But the first jazz artist, the first project that I really heard, I mean, if you couldn't, it was Chick Corea and the Electric Band. It was Chick Corea. And if you would have came in my room and saw me lying in my bed, you would have thought that I died. I mean, I was laying there with my eyes wide open with the headphones on my head and my mouth just open, gaping, just wide open. Like, oh, my God, what is this that I'm listening to? You know, but that was after I heard Chick Corea. David Sanborn really got me on sax, but Chick Corea really got me into the keyboards and things like that. So, yeah, those were my probably after David Sanborn on sax, my other greatest influence is probably hands down Gerald Albright.
Oh wow, yeah.
Oh yeah, Gerald Albright. Piano. Actually, just the whole vibe jazz definitely is a Chick Corea, Yellow Jackets, definitely a fan of them. When you go soul, I mean, you can't say enough about, for me, Stevie Wonder or Donny Hathaway. I'm a young guy, but I got an old soul. Love Evelyn,
yes, you do.
Like that.
You have an old soul, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, I just like people. I like people. I think, you know, I think one of the things that probably, I think when real music, should I say, for lack of words, I don't want to offend anyone, but I think when the music changed, I put it that way, is when the producer became the artist. Back in the day, Marvin Gaye played his own music, and he played his music, and he wrote them. So when you heard Marvin Gaye, you heard Marvin. You didn't hear some producer writing for him and playing his stuff, and he go in the studio and they tell him what to do. You didn't hear that. When Donny Hathaway did his music, you heard Donny. You didn't hear a producer telling Donny what. And that was the musical ingenuity that you had back in those days, and I believe that's coming back around.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why I tell people that smooth jazz will not die. You know why I won't die? Because there are people like myself who are out here who are in the shadows, who are burgeoning. We're grassroots, but we have something to say. And the reason why it won't die is because we are substantive. We didn't get some record company to pour millions of dollars into us and give us a video and overnight made us a star. Uh-uh. We grinded. We did this thing when it was two people. We did it when it was 20 people. We did it when it was because we had something to say. We built substance, character, and integrity over the course of time. And because you still got artists like myself out here who are not mainstream, but, you know, a few people know about us, but we're substantive, smooth jazz won't die. I refuse to believe that, you know, with the way the industry is going with the radio and things like that. Nah, it's just a matter of time for some of these execs and some of these radio people get smart and say, you know what, these people want to hear these guys right here, and we're going to get these, you know what I mean? It's just a matter of time.
Well, Marcus, it might not be, you know, called smooth jazz. There are amazing artists who are playing contemporary jazz. The fluidity, the melody of contemporary jazz. Now, it certainly is going through some ups and downs and challenges, and we could have another hour talking about that because I had come from, you know, that background, having been at a smooth jazz station, and there's a reason for those stations going away that has nothing to do, per se, with the music, and especially when it comes to guys like you who have an element of heart and soul in the music and not just appetizer stuff. You've got the chops to make it shine again. So I hear what you're saying.
But I agree with you. I can see there being for lack of words, a faceover coming for the genre. You know what I mean? Maybe a name change or just some things like that. But I do believe that instrumental music in it will be around for a while.
Oh, definitely. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And you, I mean, being the generation that you are, and playing the kind of music that you, it's resonating. I mean, if it's resonating for me, having heard a lot of stuff, then it's going to resonate for people who just gravitate to the across the board accessibility of instrumental music. The fact that when you play something, and I'm about to play something right now, and it just seems natural to play Testify, because that's what you're doing.
No doubt.
You know, this music is so important because everybody can say, that's my song. Everybody.
Yeah. And Testify is one of those songs that,
You were so cute on the video. I love this little video of you and this song. Oh, my God. You know what? You were comforting. Isn't that wild? How can you explain that you were comforting to me?
You know, I think I look at music, and this may be a bit weird, but when I look at music, I see colors.
Ah.
I see music as colors. Different keys and pitches have a different hue associated with them. They affect you differently. And so you have to have the right key, the right melody, the right everything to make the song reach its intended purpose. And so I see colors. And what I do is when I write, it has to be in the right key for my song. And basically, the song was saying Testify. It's an encouraging song. It's saying whatever you're going through, don't even trip about it, because you're going through this. Whatever life is presented to you, you're going through this to be a great monument, you know, to be some strength in someone else's life. So you've been chosen to testify. So
absolutely.
I'm confident because I chose the right key for the song. I had to choose the right bridge. I had to choose the right instrumentation as far as sounds, guitar sound. And all of that stuff matters. It does.
What you in essence said, and now I understand why it got me, because when you're playing, and what you have just said indicates that God is working through you. There's no doubt.
No doubt, and I'm humble. I am totally humble. I really am.
Well, folks are going to be feeling a lot better after they hear this. This is Marcus Adams, our guest on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is called Testify, and we're going to tell you all about where you can get a hold of this CD coming up right after this beautiful song. Check it out. have to share this little story. Just a couple of weeks ago, here comes the mail, and some days it's bad because I don't check it for a couple of days, and you know, I wasn't really expecting anything, and I open up this envelope, and here's this handsome face. It's a paper CD, suddenly, Marcus Adams, and I went, huh, well, that's intriguing that it came out of nowhere, and then I see on the corner of the package, it says Kim, and I thought, from my friend Kim, and then I wasn't sure who sent it to me, and then I put it on, and I heard Testify, and I heard From the Heart, and I heard the heart and soul of Marcus Adams, and I went, oh, my God, got to know more about this man, and I think God has everything to do with it. Wow. That's, and you know what the mark of a great song is, Marcus? When you hear something and you go, I know I've never heard that song before, but it's so familiar in my spirit.
Right.
It just feels like it's been here forever.
Right. There's a familiarity. Should I say? How can I say this? I'm gonna tell you why. It's not the song. See, the song is only a conduit for an experience. And it's the experience that caused the song to be written that you know already, and I just simply touched that experience. That's all. You know, when I write about love, you know about love already. So if I write a love song, it relates to you because you already know about love. The song is just a conduit. You know, it's just a connection. That's all it is. My love that I know about, your love that you know about, the connection is the song. Same thing with Testify. You know, my experiences that I've gone through are very similar to yours. All humanity is relative. I just wrote a song that connects our experiences, and it gives hope to both of us. That's all.
You flip the switch. You're a switch flipper. That's what you do. You turn on the light to illuminate the truth that you know is already there.
No doubt. No doubt. That's what it's all about. I mean, that is what it's all about. I like how you said that. You know.
Well, there are a lot of folks who go through a different evolutionary process, Marcus, and you are on this path because you had learned so much when you were young, and because you are an old soul, you grasp that. And honestly, there are people who are 20 and 30 years older than you who haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I say that I do believe that my ultimate destiny in life, something that's significant, you know, it really is. And you look at the tools, or you look at your perspective on life, and it tends to direct you or give you some kind of indicator as to what exactly you're supposed to be doing or where you're supposed to be headed. And I look at some of the things that I've grasped at 39, and I say, well, you know, that has to be a little bit, that must be something interesting for me on the other side of the rainbow, you know, because I got, like, you know, I know a little bit about a few things, you know, intuitively speaking, you know, that, and I'm not talking just from knowledge, but just from an innate knowing. I can just sense some things. There's an intuition about me that sometimes it boggles me, that I can see some things and sense some things, you know.
I understand,
you know.
That. I really do. And you're not kidding when you say that there's a couple of things you know about, because part of the intrigue with you is that you are so health conscious because you had a family member who was diagnosed with diabetes. Tell us about that. That's so fascinating, and it's so helpful for us to know that somebody is consumed with being healthy.
My grandfather, besides my father for obvious reasons, my grandfather had the greatest effect on my life. And my grandfather recently got
Aww.
A heart attack.
Really?
Yes, about 3 years ago. 3 years ago, as a result of diabetes. My grandfather, the last thing he said to me was, at the end of the day, this is the last conversation I had with him. It was Thanksgiving, and he passed New Year's. He said to me, at the end of the day, the only thing that a man has is his word. So learn how to keep your word and make my name proud. His last name. He's big on Adams. So he said, man, make my name proud. And remember, at the end of the day, the only thing a man has is his word. So man, keep your word. My grandfather had a profound effect on my life. When he passed, it set me back a bit, definitely emotionally, but it caused me to look at life again in a different way. It caused me to really assess my mortality. And I started to look at life and say, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? My grandfather was one of the reasons why I suddenly came into existence with the immediacy that it did. Because he helped me understand that we don't live forever, but you can never die.
That's right.
You can never die. How is that? With the recorded works and the impact that you have on people, you can live forever. So I made a pledge to myself, that I was going to start leaving behind pieces of me everywhere. And one of them was, I wrote a book on health, and it was called As a Man, As a Person Thinks. And basically, it was talking about, setting yourself up for a healthy lifestyle, optimal health, not just physically. People think that physical health is the picture of health. It is not. Being ripped, having 5% body fat is not the picture of health. Being healthy is spiritually, physically, and mentally balanced in life. And sometimes being 10, 15 pounds over the quote-unquote weight that, people say is okay. It's an indicator of a balance in life. You're not in the gym 24 hours a day. Why? Because you are balanced in every area of your life. You got children to take care of. You got other things to engage in. And then you have a spiritual side of your life. So, it talks about optimal health. It talks about balancing life out and being healthy across the board.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. And actually, it goes back to something even more basic. And, if folks really did consider their bodies and their minds to be temples, there'd be a lot less stuff happening in the world that's needless, that's life-threatening, that rips you of self-esteem, lowers your self-worth. If you considered how important you were and how, this casing that you're living in is a gift that you present to other people and that you nourish in all ways, that's it.
Definitely. Trish, I agree with you. As I get older, I understand that more and more. And so my focus 5 years ago was definitely more on the physical side of things. Now I definitely focus more on my spiritual side because in actuality, I believe that my music comes from a place that's living. And the only thing that truly is living is our spirits. Everything else is in a state of degradation, degrading every day. Your body, literally, we are passing away every moment, but our spirits are not. They're living and they're growing and they're becoming bigger. So that's where my music comes from, and that's what I nurture now more than anything. I get up in the morning thinking, how can I become a more beautiful person, and that guides me and motivates me throughout the day. And that's one of the main purposes or main inspirations behind my music now. How can I become more beautiful?
You are giving some new thought to some old ideas today, Marcus. You really are. A new perspective has come up like every couple of minutes, and I'm going, wow. You know, that's really great food for thought. There's no doubt that this is an enriching experience for you to have turned out these songs because you feel them and you feel like there's a connection that's giving you the songs almost. And then in turn, we get it because you were writing songs that were supposed to be just the way that they were.
Well, you know what? I'm going to give you a little sneak, just sharing with you on your show. It's an exclusive for Trish. The CD that I released is an EP, 6 songs, but I will be releasing my full CD announcing to the world today in January. Releasing my full CD in January. But there's a song on the CD that will be on the CD. I'll be singing the song. I'll just give you a little brief preview of the song today. The song, title of the song is called Strange Man. And the words are, I'm a strange man living in a strange world. It took me a while, but now I see I'm a different man and I play by different rules. I had to accept my destiny. You know, I never ever dreamed that I would be a strange man. I'm going to find me a mountain, someplace I can go just to get away. I'm going to find me a city, someplace that'll take me just the way I am. I'm going to find me a lady, so beautiful. All she's going to want is a man like me. All she's going to want is a strange man.
Oh, my God. I love that. I love that.
That's going to be on the CD. So when you get the CD, when I send it to you in January and you listen to that song, remember I told you about it back in October.
I'm going to remember that because this is October 27th when we've done this show. And, of course, it will be archived so people can listen to it over and over again. But this is the day you told me about that song. And I get it. You really do feel like a strange man sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, I feel that I'm missing something that makes everybody else complacent. Like for instance, people say, "You guys think outside the box," and I'm like, "What box are you guys talking about?" Like, for me, no box exists. What box are you talking about? There is no box for me. What are you talking about? You know, literally, that's how I'm just where I am now in life. I'm happy. I am patient. I am content, but not satisfied.
Gotcha.
I believe that there is a place that I'm going to eventually get to where I can look and see the effects of my music in people's lives, and that's what I want. I want Strange Man to become, the songs of old, Stevie Wonder, the songs of Stevie Wonder, the reason why they're classics are not because they come from a real place. You know, and I want to write music that's not trendy, but music that is classy. I think Strange Man is going to be a song that is going to stay with people because there are so many strange men and women in the world. You know, there are. We're just strange. We see it from a different perspective. You know, and that's my hope. That's what I hold on to dearly. That one day my songs and one day my music will impact people and I can see the effects in people's lives. That's what I want, Trish.
I hear you, and I absolutely believe you because you had me from Nobel Peace Prize. That's what you want, and you see far above and beyond any sort of Grammy award you could possibly win.
Yeah.
You want to affect change permanently.
No doubt. No, that's. I mean, I'm talking about that is what I want to do. And so I'm going to play the saxophone, I'm going to play this piano, I'm going to sing these songs, and I'm going to write with that intent and that passion to impact the heart, you know, which will in turn affect the world.
And Speaking of which, you two things. You were describing your grandfather and what he said to you before he right. left us in the flesh, and you used the word suddenly.
Right.
And is that why I have this beautiful cardboard six-tune package in front of me that's called Suddenly?
It is definitely the motivation. I wanted to I looked for, and people asked me to, like, why did you name your project Suddenly? And there's no song on the CD called Suddenly. You know, people are like, wow, where is the song Suddenly? And I have to explain to people, you know, Suddenly is what I want, you know, you to, for the most part, you know, a lot of times when people are looking for something significant,
yeah,
and when they're praying and when they're waiting, it suddenly appears. It just appears suddenly. Out of nowhere, there it is. And I want people to look at this gift like that. You know, hey, people want, they want real music. People want something that's substantive. People want this, and this is what you've been putting out into the atmosphere. Your energy has been asking for this. Suddenly, it's here. There is one of many artists who everything that you want, that person is comprised of that. You know, and so suddenly, you know, it appears, and I'm just one of many. I know there are a few other artists who I am in friendship with that are definitely like myself, and I believe they are part of the suddenly crop as well. You know,
I like that.
Yeah, I really believe that suddenly it's just not exclusively me. There's a suddenly crop that is burgeoning. And they just appear suddenly, and they're beautiful. I mean, you know, they're not learning on the spot. When you come and see them, you're like, where did they come from, or where have they been?
Exactly.
That's what people say when they hear me play. People say that that's the main line thing I get. Where did you come from? Where have you been?
Right.
You know, so,
that's exciting. Yeah. How exciting is that? Yeah. And what a blessing it is to know that people are on fire for you and your career. And it's just, I mean, you've gone through these different stages now, and now you are here. And from here, it just keeps growing and growing and growing.
Trish, that is my prayer. I just pray that more and more people hear about my project and hear about what I have to offer, and you know, I get the opportunity to just share with people. I believe in a great show. I believe in exciting songs. I believe in engaging the audience. I believe in people leaving saying, I cannot wait. I mean, I think the greatest thing that happened to me, I went to see Stevie Wonder about 4 years ago, Fort Worth, Texas, Dallas. And when the show was over, people were clapping and just going crazy. I literally couldn't move, and I was speechless. I literally could not move, and I was speechless. And I was like, oh, I couldn't say anything, and I couldn't move. And there was just chaos and mayhem all around me. But I couldn't move. And I was like, man, this is what real music is about right here, man. And I vowed,
yeah.
You know, I vowed that I would try my best to find that place that Stevie spoke from and do that. That's the only place.
And you know, I'm not sure if you ever heard this story, but it seems good to share this with you. And then I want to play another song, and I want you to set it up. But, you know, for a long time, because I'm way older than you, baby. So I was hearing these stories, you know, back around the time that it happened. But when Stevie was in that car accident, this was right after or just right before InterVisions. Stevie was in a bad car accident, and it was so bad that some did not expect him to live. And he was in the hospital, and he was in a coma. And one of the folks that he was working so closely with came into the hospital and was trying to figure out a way to bring Stevie out. And there's variations on a theme, but what I think the story was, and this is true, that one of the producers or an associate played Higher Ground from Inner Visions. And that was when Stevie woke up and he started to do the tune. And then I believe he started to sing the words.
Wow.
So that's your thought to propel you into the next arena of what you're supposed to do, because there is a connection between you and Stevie somehow. And if Stevie can do what he is doing on keyboard, why can't you do that with sax?
Hey, hey, hey. Now you're turning me on. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. I feel you. I feel you, Trish, all day.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's just supposed to be, and it's you said it. You've made sort of these associations with heart. So now I want to play from the heart. So tell me why this was so difficult for you to record.
From the heart was so difficult to record because the name of the song in itself is the attitude and the understanding that the song is going to exude. Instrumental music may not have physical words, but believe me, they speak. And I was speaking in this song from the heart, and I was speaking from our heart. And so I had to open up a little bit, and I had to reveal some areas that I wasn't as comfortable sharing with people. Even though I wasn't saying anything literally, I still was speaking. I had to talk about some pain in this song, and then I had to talk about some joys and triumphs. So I had to share a little bit of myself in an intimate way, and it was hard to record because it had to come out right. It had to come out right.
It did.
But when I got done with it, I sat back and listened to it, and it moved me to tears.
Oh.
Yeah. It moved
There was just something that spoke in this. And you know, you have to understand how important you are in this scheme of things. You are supposed to do what you're doing and are evolving into. And this right here, this is the crown jewel of this package that I have. You know that.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. This is Marcus Adams on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, and the song is called From the Heart. Thank you. just love that song. That's Marcus Adams and From the Heart. And Marcus, I have to tell you that David Sanborn, who just grabbed your attention so early in life, he has said, and this is not his quote, but he said that he had heard somebody say that there are two kinds of music in the world, the blues and everything else. And the blues, just part of the African-American experience in this country, but because there was no place to go but up, jazz was born. That's what I think. And I see the blues, I hear the blues, I feel the colors, I hear both joy and pain in that song, and that's why I love it so much.
I'm glad you do, Trish. I really am.
Man, just that's you're just right there where you're supposed to be, and my God, can't wait to hear the whole CD in 2012. Give us a time frame, maybe.
We're looking at I want to say thank you to first to Kim Giles, working with her, a fabulous jazz aficion and manager and everything else, friend, whatever else. So I'm working with her right now, and we're looking at mid-January, trying to probably the biggest hold up for me is I try to lose a few more pounds to actually record. Again, you're getting a sneak preview, Trish. I'm telling you, I really have taken a liking to you, so I'm giving you all this good stuff.
Oh, you are so funny. Are you serious? You're trying to lose a few pounds?
I'm trying to lose a few pounds because I want to record a video. So I want to do a video to that song, From the Heart. I just want to give the ladies something to appreciate. That's all.
Let me tell you something. Ladies gravitate to what is real. And speaking on behalf of the ladies that I have discussed this with recently, we do appreciate a larger man.
Yeah. I believe that the music that I play, because it comes from a place of intimacy, and it comes from a place of realness, there is a sexuality associated with it that's inbred in the music itself. And so I believe that my image when you see me, you shouldn't be disappointed. You know, so I firmly hold fast to that belief. And I think that it'll show some dividends, hopefully, one day.
Well, you know what? I'm going to remind you of that little book you wrote about the fact that true wealth encompasses everything. So if you are a few pounds over, that you know what? Let me tell you something. I'll just keep it real with you because you're keeping it real with me. You exude sexy no matter how you slice it. So don't you be worrying your pretty little head about that, all right?
I'm going to remember that next time I'm in the gym on my 100 push-up. I could have stopped at 50 because Trish said I was already sexy. I could have stopped at 50.
There you go. No, listen, you better get yourself checked out and make sure you can do all those push-ups because we want you well for the next 50 or so years.
You're right about that. I totally agree. Totally agree with that and appreciate that.
Yeah, you got to have all cylinders working, and you've got a lot of those cylinders working. So, you know, you do what you feel that you need to do, but make sure you realize that ladies are going to come at you anyway.
I tell you what, I got two ladies in my life. I got more than one horn. My ladies are my horns. definitely. Saxophone of the female. They are not inanimate objects by no means. And all my horns are ladies. But I have one lady in my life who is has my entire heart. That's my little girl, Clara Jewel.
Oh.
Yeah, that's my little baby. So she keeps me grounded. She does. So, you know, while there may be a few other interests, Clara Jewel has my, she's my number one interest.
Is her name a Clara Jewel, J-E-W-E-L?
J-E-W-E-L, Clara Jewel, yes.
Oh, my God, and that's so funny because I've thought about From the Heart being the crown jewel of the CD. So that's just odd because normally the word jewel wouldn't come out of my mouth. Clara Jewel. I love that.
That's her name. That is
beautiful.
From my heart.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, I know that I've kept you a little over, and I appreciate all the time. My God, you've been such a wonderful guest.
Well, you know, Trish, in party, in meeting you for now, because when we do meet face to face, yeah, dinner's on me. Just put that out there.
But, oh, cool! I'm ready.
Yeah, but in party, I'd like to just say these words to anyone who's listening, musician, definitely. Never give up. And even though I haven't had world-renowned success, I am a success, I believe, because I have found my purpose in life, and I am endeavoring to be everything that purpose is destined to be. Make music from your heart, and I believe if you make it from your heart, it's going to reach the heart. I am a witness, Amir, should I say, I have the proof that that's happening, i.e., or should I say, by virtue of the fact that I'm talking to you now. And so, you know, just let guys out there know, guys and girls who are musicians or artists, never stop. And endeavor to make music that speaks. You know, there's something I can leave with people. Endeavor to make music that speaks. And it's been a pleasure, Trish.
Oh, my gosh, it really has, Marcus, and I want to make sure two things. Folks know that they can go to MarcusAdams7345.com.
And check the project. Get it.
Please do, because okay. This is you're one of those people. I might not be able to get on this show again because you might be doing a whole lot of other things. And secondly, you need to know that the folks who are following you now, who love you, they will never go away, Marcus, never.
I'll say this. The only way you won't be able to get me, Trish, is if my phone is off. You know, I'll put that out there. That's the only way you won't be able to get me. I ain't changed. I'm going to always be Marcus because this is what got me to where I am, you know. And I'm appreciative, and everybody, you know, I love people, I love sharing, and, you know, I'm just having a great time at it. So please go to MarcusAdams7345.com and get the project. I appreciate and need your support from the heart.
That's right. And pretty much everybody, and there's been quite a few people in the chat room today, quite a few. Chris Matthews was here, my friend Griselda from Texas, and there are a lot of other people floating back and forth who didn't have names. They're just guests in the chat room. So that speaks volumes for you. All of these folks hopefully know that I'm on Facebook with what, close to 5,000 friends. We're just going to spread the word, and if they need more information, they can come to me, and I'll direct them to you.
I appreciate that, Trish, from the bottom of my heart. You have no idea how much that means to me. Again, when we do meet, you got a big wet one coming. Just know that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let you go, and then you can choose to hear this or not. But I saved the song till the end because I wanted to play this for you, knowing that it would be just right, and it is. This is my friend Lori Williams, who is from the D.C. area, one of the stronger voices that I know, who was raised in a similar way to you. And it's her version of Amazing Grace that I'm going to play. So I'll let you go.
I love it.
Okay. God bless you, Marcus, and we'll talk to you.
All right, sweetheart.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, winding things up. We're going overtime, but I wanted to make sure I played that song because I promised folks on Facebook that I would play Lori Williams. Always a treat to play one of the more superior vocalists, certainly in this region and way beyond. And I say way beyond because she just got finished playing with Kindred the Family Soul last night. She just did her thing with Norman Brown several days ago. And she's part of a big package in February that will include, and I have to do this right so I can get all the people involved here. Let me see. It is called, what a day, Marcus Adams. And that song was especially for Marcus, by the way. I wanted to play that for him. Jazz Affair of the Heart. How about that? That's what this promotion is going to be in Hampton, Virginia, at the convention center there with Lori Williams, who you just heard, also Phil Perry, Pieces of a Dream, and Johnny Gill. Somebody tell Johnny Gill he's jazz now, okay? Anyway, that's going to be wild to see that. And Lori Williams, you can go to Lori Jazz, L-O-R-I, jazz.com. and find out more information. And we need to know who the personnel was because these are local and regional folks, and they are awesome. Arranged by Alan Johnson, amazing on the keyboard. Mark Prince on drums, Michael Bowie on upright bass, Tracy Cutler on saxophone, and Lori doing her own background vocals. She is a treasure. If you can get to this beautiful Hampton, Virginia Convention Center soiree right before Valentine's Day in the new year, do so. That show is going to be rocking. Once again, thank you so much to Marcus Adams. We needed one more Marcus in contemporary jazz. We did. And he's the one who's got me. He is such a trip, and it's just the beginning of what this man is going to do. Can't wait for the rest of the CD. Again, make sure that you pick this up. And let's see. Yes, here it is. MarcusAdams7345.com for more information. Thank you to everybody that's been in the chat room today. And as a matter of fact, we didn't even do this. We were supposed to do our outro music. Oh, gosh. That's okay. We still have some more time. We don't even know. We have maybe a glimpse of what is going to transpire on Tuesday and then next Thursday because nothing is etched in stone. We're waiting on a couple of okays via phone or via the written word. But we will tell you this. Back in August when we first started Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, my first guest was Jared. And the modus operandi was that Jared was going to play in the area, so we were going to make sure folks knew. Well, a big storm came and went. That show was postponed. It's going to be on the 13th of November at the Latin Palace in Baltimore. So, on November 10th, Jared will be here again, just because we like to hang out together. So, from one great saxophonist to another, make sure you mark that on your calendars. That will be Thursday, November the 10th. And just so you know this ahead of time, on Friday, that next Friday, it will be 11-11-11. And that has some spiritual ramifications. So you make sure that you do what you can to do good things on that day. God bless you, and I'll talk to you next Tuesday. Thank you all so much.